And Melendez drives it into left center field. And it is a bigger inning. A five-run sixth. And MJ Melendez has driven in four tonight.
Well, break up the Royals. They've won two in a row. When you win two in a row, does that mean it's a winning streak? A lot of people say it needs to be more than two. You got to have three. You have to have three to have a winning streak. But for the Royals, we might change the rules so that they can say they have a winning streak. Royals have won two in a row as they win last night, an eight-run sixth inning, 12-5 win over the White Sox last night at the K. And RBI hits from Jackie Bradley Jr. and MJ Melendez, as you heard, three-run double by Nick Prado. Royals were down 3-1 early, come back to win, and Matt Cutrera, the head coach or the manager of the Royals, on his team fighting for a win.
I'm really happy for them because we've struggled to win games, and it takes another belief that you can do it, you know, and to be down. Cease is a really good pitcher. We're down 3-1, the big homer to tie it, take the lead, they tie it. So it's a back and forth game against a really talented team. And so these guys believing that they can keep going and make that happen, I think that speaks volumes to what they can do.
First time in exactly a month, the Royals have won back-to-back games. Last time they won two in a row was in San Francisco. They're now 10-26 on the season. They're only two games out of last place. They get their fourth place. The White Sox are 12-24. So, hey, how about that? Game two of the four games set tonight at 6:40. Jordan Lyles has been absolutely pummeled lately. Will be on the hill for the boys in blue. The Milwaukee Brewers have changed their minds about extending beer sales beyond the seventh inning of home games. The Brewers were among a handful of teams that extended beer sales through the eighth inning in response to the shorter games this season following the pitch clock's arrival. But starting with their game Monday night against the Dodgers, the Brewers went back to their previous policy of shutting down beer sales after the seventh inning. When the Brewers decided last month to continue beer sales through the eighth inning, they called it an experimental move. The Brewers said yesterday their decision to reverse course wasn't due to any issues with fan behavior. They simply discovered that sales of all concessions dropped quite a bit in the late innings. Therefore, keeping beer vendors open for another inning wasn't producing a significant increase in sales, thus didn't really pay to keep them open another inning. So thus, they go back to beers have to be bought, paid for by the end of the seventh inning. So the Brewers are going back to the way it was. Coming up, another gambling scandal in college athletics. We tried to tell you ahead of the curve, didn't we? Bob Huggins is in big trouble for some words he said yesterday on a radio interview. The NFL schedule is going to be released on Thursday. There are going to be some changes. Is the Golden State Warrior dynasty done? They're down 3-1 to the Lakers, and we got hockey playoffs as well. That's all coming up on the ticket, but first we throw it to Dusty for local sports.
Yeah, not a lot going on here today, but do have some results from yesterday as the high school golf yesterday, NCKL at Concordia, the league meet. Team-wise, Wamego took first place, 297. Concordia was third. Cash Wolt to Wamego's individual champion with a 71. Luke Donovan and Concordia, the top finisher for the Panthers, in 12th place there yesterday. And then in baseball and softball yesterday, Ellenwood baseball and Sylvan Lucas Lincoln, they split. Ellenwood winning the first game 6-1, and taking Sylvan Lucas Lincoln took the second game 8-7. And Clay Center, Concordia baseball yesterday, Clay Center gets a sweep 10-0 in 6 and 12-4 in game two. Softball, Sylvan Lucas Wilson sweeping Ellenwood 10-0 in game one, 13-1 in the second game. And then Concordia and Clay Center split softball yesterday. Concordia winning game one, 3-0, and Clay Center winning 11-1 and 5 in the second game. So that's a look at what happened there yesterday. Today's schedule, a slim one. A lot of golf going on today in the area, as we do have the Tipton Invitational at 10:30 this morning is when that'll get underway. Lakeside, Pike Valley, Rock Hill, St. John's, Southern Cloud, as well as the host school Tipton, all competing there this morning and this afternoon. And then the NCAA League meet is in Solana today at 1 o'clock. Blewett obviously will be competing there with all the other NCAA teams. And then the Mel Shrimmer Invitational will be at Phillipsburg at 3 o'clock on this afternoon. And they're in Phillipsburg at Osborne and Smith Center are competing there. So that original schedule that I had it yesterday, but it moved to today there with the Mel Shrimmer Invitational in Phillipsburg. So that's a look at the local schedule. Again, all the latest in local sports can be found at nckssports.com.
You say Beloit Sacred Heart Baseball Day. What time did you say?
4 is what I had.
4:30 is
4:30, okay.
Yep, they're playing at 4:30. The school website has 4. USD 273 website has 4.
Okay. And that's probably where I got the schedule was from Beloit,
that's
right?
That's what I'm trying to explain.
Yep.
So the USD 273 website has 4 o'clock for Beloit Sacred Heart. All the stuff sent out by the baseball folks and on Game Changer for us, because I'm a parent of a baseball player. And what was put on social media is 4:30. So there's when you start to get conflicting issues and problems in regards to game times, when they're not consistent. And nobody's perfect. There's mistakes that happen, or things, maybe something got changed in the middle of the season. Nobody remembered to go back and change it on the website. And that happens. We've done things like that before, too. But 4:30 is what we've been told by our coaches. So I guess if we show up 4:30 and they start at 4, then we'll blame the coaches for telling us wrong. But that's what our kids have been told, and thus that's what we're telling other people is 4:30 down at Salina for the Beloit Sacred Heart baseball games, weather permitting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, I'm okay with baseball being canceled from the standpoint of rain. We need rain. So if we have to give up a baseball game, that's fine with me. I'm not going to complain too much about it. There is a push by some to have more athletic competitions for high school sports in the state of Kansas. In fact, it was, I think, approved by the KIAAA, but it has been not approved and has not gone through. I think the Keisha Board of Directors shot that down. Are you following this at all?
I have not seen that one.
Okie dokie. So, something we need to stay on top of, because this is kind of a big issue that's been brought up. And Missouri has more games when it comes to sports, high school sports. Iowa has way more baseball and softball games than Kansas does. And I will have to see if I retweeted that out there. The Wichita Eagle, I think Kansas.com, did a story on it, and I'm seeing if I went ahead and retweeted that or not. I might not have done that, but it was a breakdown of various states around Kansas in regards to how many athletic competitions they're allowed to do. There has been, I've talked with some athletic directors around here, that there is a push by some to have 26 basketball games in the regular season. Nebraska has, I believe, 20. They play like 18 to 24. Another state is 26. Kansas, you play 20 regular season games. Then you play your sub-state and then your state. So eventually you can play 26. So you're not going to play more than 26. But we're talking regular season games, because you have no idea how many postseason games teams will get. So 20 is the cap for Kansas schools when it comes to girls and boys basketball. But in other states, it's 24, 26, 22. And so there are a lot of people out there and many coaches, and it seems to be more towards the bigger cities, I've noticed. I don't know about here in the small town America, whether that's what people want or not. But they're saying, listen, you only get 20 baseball games, which is, I mean, I have to admit, that's not a lot of baseball games. Mm-hmm. And there are other states playing as many as 40 or so, and Iowa's one of those. And so there has been a push to increase the amount of athletic competitions that you can have. Now, some of the pushback is, well, you already have a shortage of umpires. You have a shortage of officials. Now you're going to have more games. That's going to, I mean, how are we going to make this work? Some people said, well, you just simply end up having games on the weekend. I don't know. I kind of like to have my weekends free every once in a while. So I, you know, for me personally, I don't have a big problem with the way Kansas is structured. You know, Keisha catches a lot of heat about various things. I think this one, this is just my opinion. I don't think it's as big a deal as people make it out to be. They're talking about, the biggest thing I've heard is, it hurts these kids' development compared to other kids in other states, and they get more opportunities to play this and that. Listen, with traveling sports, you got tons of opportunities to play. So I don't know if I truly buy that argument. I think that's a way to push your agenda, that you want to play more games. And I'm not saying I'm not for playing more than 20 baseball games in a high school season or more than 20 softball games. I'm not saying I'm against basketball playing more than 20 games during a regular season. I definitely don't need to play any more football games. There's no way we need to play more football games. Volleyball, there's plenty of volleyball matches. For crying out loud, I know Beloit's played 45 or so when they've gone all the way state. So there's plenty of volleyball matches. I just don't know if we really need a lot more athletic competition, or not competition, but athletic events for these sports, athletic dates. Basketball, listen, it's hard sometimes to get all 20 in due to the weather. So yeah. And then we already have a problem trying to get officials for freshman and JV basketball games. We have a hard time getting them for junior high games. And so I'm not a big proponent of what some of these coaches, it seems like it's coming from more of the bigger cities from what I've seen following on Twitter, that they're pushing for it. And of course they see all these, you know, they're closer to some of these other states in regards, well, especially those in Kansas City. They're seeing what's happening in Missouri and they're pushing for it. And I'm not saying that if it was approved by Keisha and they would allow more athletic games for these sports, I'm not going to sit here and get on my high horse and be clamoring and being mad about it. At the same time, I'm not going to sit here and beat the drum. We have to have it. I mean, like I said, basketball, okay, so we're going to have, what, 2, 3, 4 less games in some other states? Do you really think that's going to affect you from getting a scholarship? Because that's what it seems like people are talking about here. And listen, you can play 40, 50, 60 games during the summer in AAU ball. So there's plenty of chance to be on film and on tape. And I've talked to athletic directors and said it's hard enough for us to find officials for the 20 games we have scheduled now, let alone having to add another 6. Okay, because think about it. You add another 6, you're talking 6 more freshman games, if you have enough for freshmen, 6 more JV games, and 6 more varsity games for girls and boys. So now there's 12 games you've added to the schedule. Okay, actually, it's more than 12. Okay, if you got a C team, not freshmen, so this is C team girls, C team boys, JV boys, JV girls, varsity boys. That's 6 games. Now you want to add 6 varsity nights. So 6 times 6, that's 36 more games you have to find officials for. And say 18 of those are your home games. So, see, I don't know if people fully thought all that out. And like I said, I'm okay with them wanting to do it, but I don't know if it's something that we have to sit here and act like it's this horrible tragedy that we and horrible, horrible disservice we're doing because we have 20 basketball games compared to other states that have 22 or 24. Baseball, Iowa, everybody keeps using Iowa as an example. They play over 40. They're more of the exception than the rule. There are other states that play 30 or 35, but not everybody plays 40. I will say the one sport I think that would make sense to me that could have more games is baseball and softball. I do think that you could maybe make a good argument there to have more baseball and softball games because you do double headers. So you end up having just 10 dates and there's your 20 games. You only have, like for us, we only had 5 home games this year and we played 4 of them in a span of 3 weeks or 4 weeks and boom, the home schedule is pretty much done. Like right now, Beloit just played April 28th and now they're going to play for the first time in almost 2 weeks on May 9th and then have regionals. So you could sit and argue from a baseball and softball perspective, hey, if we'd be allowed to play more than 20 games, we could have a couple here between April 28th and May 9th, and we'd be at 24. So I would listen to it in regards to baseball and softball. I think there would be a point there because you play the doubleheaders. Now, if they were single games, 20, like basketball, then I wouldn't be so much on that high horse. But it is interesting how some people are really, really saying Kansas is behind the times when it comes to various things, and they are. Kansas is behind on certain things in regards to allowing kids to, you know, enter the gym or go do this or that, and then they've got the dead periods and the dead time and whatever else, and compared to other states, and then other states start a week or earlier or 2 weeks earlier when high school football, and then Kansas ends up having all their stuff during Thanksgiving weekend and things like that. I mean, yeah, there's things Kansas can improve on. There's no doubt. Trust me, I've talked to people in Nebraska, people want to compare. People in Kansas want to say Nebraska's got it all figured out. Nebraska's got a great system. I've talked to people in Nebraska. They say, yeah, we like our system, but there's some issues here too. So there is no perfect system. But I would encourage Dusty and other people to follow this a little bit closer because this is something that could obviously impact all of our high school sports that we cover on a regular basis. And it is something that is being pushed that it looks like has been shot down right now. And then there's some negative comments that are coming out, taking shots at Keisha. And like I said, I'm not one that's going to be a Keisha apologist, but at the same time, I can be objective enough to say, you know, I think there's some other things Keisha needs to worry about and get fixed or do differently than adding, you know, 6 basketball games to the schedule and 20 baseball games and 20 softball games. That's just my 2 cents.
Yeah, I don't think that's gone very far anything other than baseball. I found the story that you were talking about on Wichita Eagle, but it looks like baseball is the only thing that's really been pushed right now has actually had something that was approved by one entity, but not by Keisha, and it only lost by a vote. But
Trust me, they're talking. They are.
There's talk about the others.
There are serious discussions about other sports too. I've talked to athletic directors in the know, and they have told me that there is a push to have 26 basketball games.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know where that starts or if anybody's put that into a vote for the KIAAA.
It might not be that far yet.
Yeah. And so, you know, we can go off of what's actually been done, and then, you know, we'll see what happens with the rest of it. But, baseball and softball are tough because I get what the story's saying. This is a McPherson guy that's really pushing this, right? Look, he's got a league that's got, you know, 8 or 9 teams in it probably in an area that he's got to travel of about an hour,
mm-hmm.
probably for the max, the longest trip he's going to make.
Right.
And so he's talking, we could play on, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, or whatever each week, right? And it's like the tough thing with baseball, I would think, if you want to do that, and he's like, you know, you don't have to play 26, but we like to play 26. And it's like, I get that. It's tough to do all that. I would think with baseball, with the restrictions that you have on amount of pitches that you can throw, those bigger teams are going to have more pitchers.
See, that's another. That's why I think of the smaller schools, it's not as big a deal because you don't have as many arms.
Yeah.
And there's also, you got JV games, and it's hard to even find JV games here in smaller rural areas to fill your schedule, for crying out loud. So the big city guys don't know what others are dealing with here.
Yeah. And you have a month and a half, basically, to get your baseball and softball seasons in.
And bad weather, rain, cold.
And how many times have we seen where Beloit ended up with like 14 baseball games because of weather and they couldn't reschedule?
Last year, Beloit had 18, and that was counting postseason, I believe.
There was like one year, I think they played 14 regular season games because they couldn't find dates and they couldn't reschedule. And then when they did reschedule, those got rained out or the weather was bad or whatever. And so it's... Baseball and softball, it's a great concept, I think, to have more games.
Mm-hmm.
But if you understand that basketball gets over mid-March for some teams if they make it to state.
Right.
So they're not going to schedule games until about March 23rd is about the earliest you'll play a baseball game. So you think you start regionals on May 15th, let's say that's the date, you have less than 2 months to get 20 games in the way it is right now.
Yeah.
And then you have pitch counts that you got to worry about. You got to worry about all this stuff and then rain and weather and all that stuff. And it's like, it's a good concept, but how feasible is it to make it all work for teams out here? Like I said, for the teams down in the Wichita area, it's fine. They can schedule all the games they want and go 30 minutes and play a game.
Republic County had 12 on their baseball roster.
Yeah.
How is that? I mean, they don't have, not everybody pitches.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean,
you
I know
gonna
you're not
going
to be required to play 26 games if they change it, but it's still like, it's tough to get all that in.
So here's kind of some comparisons. Basketball, like you said, it's a baseball proposal that was approved by the KIAAA, but has been shot down short of vote to pass. But it is a bigger school push, as we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, there have been people that have talked. I've talked to athletic directors about this in regards to basketball, too. So here's a comparison. Charles Cheney put this together. It's on Twitter. And he just compared some of the neighboring states. So Kansas... The maximum amount of basketball games you can play in the regular season. Okay, these are regular season amounts. So Kansas, the limit is 20. Okay, Colorado's 22, Iowa's 21, Missouri is 25, Nebraska anywhere from 18 to 24. Kind of interesting. Oklahoma's 22. So, I mean, do we think Kansas kids are falling behind because they play one or two less games? Because Colorado's only playing two more. Iowa's playing one more. Oklahoma's playing two more. Nebraska may or may not play more. Missouri's the only one that's a neighboring state that is playing five more. So this is where you get the talk from the bigger city schools in the Kansas City area, starting, we need to play more basketball games. That's where it starts, because they see right across the border, these kids are playing an extra 5 to 6 games.
Yeah,
they don't care what's happening out west because they have no idea. They all are worrying about, we need to have more games because Missouri's having that many games.
Yeah,
of course, there are people in Missouri going, we need to have sports betting legalized because Kansas has a sport legalized, right?
Yes. And there's something that's legal in Missouri that Kansas is saying we need to legalize.
And Colorado.
And it's kind of just some of that stuff's just weird about how it ends up some places and not the other places and how that all works. But now I don't buy that basketball kids are falling behind in this state because they're only playing 20 games instead of 22, right? Like, I don't buy that.
And
you can actually have an exception in Kansas if you're in one of these leagues that have a big tournament. You can play 21 because there's plenty of NPL teams that have had 21 games in a season.
Right.
But, again, some of those teams will end up not playing a regional game, so it evens out with however many games they play a lot of times. But, or sub-state game in the first round. And so I think baseball is probably the only sport. I think baseball and softball really probably the only sports that you wish you did have more games because there's, like you said, there's double headers and it's only 10 dates.
And if you get one or two canceled, that's 10% of your schedule. Possibly.
But I mean, you can play like something like 40 volleyball matches probably. Or I don't know what the limit is on volleyball in Kansas. I don't know if that's on there or not. But
well, it says points, 36 points.
Yeah, and it's I don't understand how all that. Some of that's if you play best 3 of 5 and it's a different situation and just play one match on a night and so you know
there's plenty of volleyball
there's a
matches.
Lot of sports that I don't think this is an issue at all in Kansas.
Well, and football Kansas plays 9, technically the 9th one can be a playoff game, but it used to be 9 regular season games, just call it 9.
Yeah, everybody's scheduled
every play is 9. So Kansas is 9, Colorado is 10, Iowa's 8 to 10, Missouri's 9, Nebraska's 9, Oklahoma's 10. So we don't have to do anything to football.
No.
And I personally don't think we have to do anything to basketball either. Soccer, Kansas, Colorado, Iowa, Nebraska, and Oklahoma are a 15. Nebraska's 13. Missouri's 25. So Missouri's the outlier.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is the biggest difference in softball. Baseball, there's 20 you're allowed to play in Kansas. Softball, 20 in Kansas. Colorado, 26 in baseball, 26 in softball. Iowa, 40 in baseball, double the amount as Kansas. Softball, unknown. Missouri, 36, so almost double in softball and baseball. Nebraska plays about 34 to 35. Oklahoma, 37. So, yes, there is no doubt to me this is, and this is the proposal that was out there that was approved by the KIAAA, was for baseball. I don't know if it was softball, too. Was it just baseball?
The thing I read just said baseball.
But I would argue that I could argue that baseball and softball, Kansas needs to have at least get to maybe 26, 3 more doubleheaders. I understand it. But then again, like I said, umpires, getting officials, things like that. And then volleyball, pretty much everybody across the region in the Midwest is pretty close. So really the biggest discrepancy, basketballs, there's a little bit of discrepancy. And then baseball and softball are the biggest discrepancies in where Kansas is behind in regards to having the lowest amount of athletic competitions in those sports. Baseball, softball, and then basketball, Kansas has one or two less compared to everybody nearby, except for Missouri. They're the crazy people, I guess, and they go 5 more, which, you know, to each their own, if that's what they do. And they may have more, well, obviously Missouri is a more populated state than Kansas, so Missouri has more options for officials and things like that. So, once again, I just don't think it's as big as a huge deal as some people make it out to be, but at the same time, if you're a baseball player and love to play baseball, and you're near Missouri or Iowa or have friends in Iowa, Missouri, and they're telling you they're playing 40 and you're playing 20, I can understand why you're a little bit upset and want to play more. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I'd be interested to say, baseball, I think everybody, all the states played in the spring, but I know Nebraska plays softball in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so that probably gives them an opportunity to maybe get some more games in too.
Right.
Because you don't have severe weather usually that you're dealing with at that time of the year and things like that. So I think that's something that might be a little bit different in some of those numbers too, is like when they're playing, if they're playing fall or spring, and how many dates are actually available to do so.
Yeah. All right, let's shift.
It's interesting.
It is. So let's shift to another thing. So I've said this here last couple weeks. I've talked about how sports wagering in sports is going to become a problem because it's going to bring in coaches, officials, and it's going to bring in athletes and players. And I was talking a little bit more towards pro sports, but college has got all kinds of problems now. University of Iowa announced yesterday that 26 athletes across 5 sports, baseball, football, men's basketball, men's track and field, wrestling, and 1 full-time employee of the athletic department are suspected of wagering on sports in violation of NCAA rules. In addition, Iowa State acknowledged that some 15 of its athletes across 3 sports, football, wrestling, and track and field, are also suspected of violating gambling rules. Iowa said it has received information about 111 individuals, although only 26 are current athletes. The school said the vast majority are students who are on staff, former athletes, or those with no connection to the athletic department. The announcements came days after Alabama fired baseball coach Brad Bohannon amid an investigation into suspicious betting activity on the Crimson Tide's game against LSU on April 28th. Sportsbook surveillance video indicated that the person who placed the bets was communicating with the head coach, Brad Buchanan, at the time. Multiple sources with direct information about the investigation said, and that investigation is ongoing. Iowa, the University of Iowa, said that university leadership was notified May 2nd of potential criminal conduct related to sports wagering that also suggested possible NCAA violations. Law enforcement last Wednesday provided the university with a list of individuals alleged to have participated in sports wagering. As one college official said yesterday, and this is what I said a few weeks ago, he said, this is not just an Iowa thing. This is going to be way more widespread. This is just the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to toot our horn just a little bit here. There's times we get things wrong. There's times we get things right. Nobody is perfect. But there are people that are paying millions of dollars to be on television to just argue. They don't even, there's no substance to it anymore. They just argue. They listen to somebody talking in the ear about what to say. They don't believe in what they say. It's just debate. If you went, if you took the bait, as I did in high school, you have a topic and then you are assigned to be the negative or the affirmative. And you got to be for this or against it, even though you may not believe in it at all. And then you got to come up with research and evidence and so forth and so on and facts to back up and then convince the judges in the back of the room watching your presentation on who won the debate. Who presented it better? Even there might be a judge who's like, I'm totally against this, but they made the better case. That's how I'm supposed to judge it. So forth and so on. That's what the talking heads do. That's all it is. All it is debate. It's glorified debate between you know who and you know who. And then they start yelling at each other. And they and I guarantee after the show, they start laughing. Can you believe I said that? I don't believe that at all. I guarantee these guys don't believe everything they say whatsoever. It's shock value is what it is. And so. Then there's even people in the bigger markets, I mean, Kansas City and others. I listen to sports talk radio. I don't hear people talking about this. We're talking about it on a local show, all right? And now we have the freedom. We don't have a producer telling us how to do our job. We're not paid millions of dollars, and then we go, oh, my God, I'm going to get fired and lose my millions of dollars, so I'm going to do whatever somebody tells me. I become a lackey, okay? I become a lemming. This is something we brought up. We are not national people, but we brought this up, a local perspective, but we actually got an idea about what's happening when everything, when almost every commercial break is about somehow, some way during a sporting event, you have almost every single commercial break, there is an ad promoting MGM, Bet MGM, FanDuel, DraftKings. I mean, there's other ones out there that are pushing gambling. And then even within the pre and post game shows and the actual broadcast, they talk about, well, here's the FanDuel over under for the Warrior Laker game, and they're in the third quarter. I mean, you're shoving gambling in people's faces. And you are helping people become addicted to gambling. And I'm not sitting here and telling you they shouldn't have it. I'm not saying they should or shouldn't do this. It is America. They have the freedom. They have the rules now to where, hey, sports betting is legal in Kansas. It's legal in Ohio now. It's legal in various states. Missouri, a lot of people want it in Missouri, but it's not legalized in Missouri yet. So some states have legalized sports gambling. Some don't. You've got, it used to be so taboo that you mentioned anything about Vegas or sports announcers are scared to say anything. And now they're doing one line, two line live read promos during the game about how the line has changed. You wonder why people are going to start. You don't. This is why I invested in DraftKings. I think people are people that want to blow their money. I think people like to gamble because it is a competitive juice thing. If you used to play sports, I've talked to a few former athletes. They say they do wager because it's like they keep some skin in the game. They're not physically able to play the sport that they loved anymore. This is a way for them to be involved. Now, I would suggest another way to be involved is to coach youth sports, to officiate youth sports, because we have a shortage of people that are coaching and volunteering and officiating, and I think that could give you a pretty good taste of the competitive spirit of a sport instead of gambling. But it's your money. You can do whatever you want, and if it's legalized, you can gamble all your money and put it all on the Royals to win tonight. Okay? That is your prerogative. But here's the thing. It's being shoved down our throat because of all the money that these companies are spending to promote sports gambling. And so what you have is you've got younger people and people on campus at college universities, and you got high school kids. Listen, my high school kid talks every once in a while about something that's about a line. He does. I never did that when I was his age. It wasn't prevalent. It was taboo. Now it's just like, woohoo, let's go talk about all the lines and everybody's. And you got a whole segment on SportsCenter called Bad Beats, which is funny stuff, but it's not funny if you lost money on it.
No.
And so it's being shoved down our throats, and I can't control it. I can't stop it. So seeing all of this, I brought it up on the show about 2 weeks ago. It was like a day or two after there was a report about the Alabama manager. And that was before they really, before he even got fired. And so I talked about on this show that we're going to see more and more problems. The genie's out of the bottle. The Pandora's box has been opened and you're not going to be able to close it. Okay. Sports betting has been legalized. It is so accessible. It's so easy to gamble on your phones. Like right now, I can place a bet. Dusty can place a bet right now within a second. It's that prevalent. It's that easy to do. And so you can educate them. I hear people say, well, all the players, all the coaches, all the managers, all these athletes are told they can't gamble, they can't do this, they can't do that. Well, Bob Huggins should know better not to throw out homophobic slurs, but that didn't stop him, did it, yesterday? See my point? You can educate people all you want, but there's still problems with it. And so here we are. We now have Alabama's coach that's been fired because he apparently allegedly placed some big bets through somebody, and he knew that his star pitcher was not going to pitch that day. That's called insider trading, and a lot of elected officials should get their asses fired because of what they do up in Washington and have privy to all kinds of information, and they shouldn't be holding any kind of stock. It's gambling. I mean, Wall Street is gambling. I invest in stocks, so yes, I'm a gambler too, I guess, from that standpoint. At least I have a little bit more information. Maybe, but can I believe everything I read? And am I getting bad information? And then that costs me to lose money. You know, I guess I'm just a different type of gambler, if you want to look at it that way. But these athletes are not supposed to be gambling on these sports. College athletes are getting in trouble, or people on the staff. And we mentioned this ahead of the curve. National media people weren't talking about it. They never look ahead. Like, the national media people always want to talk about what just happened. They want to have a knee-jerk reaction to, oh my God, the Lakers lost game two. Who's the team to win now? It's 1-1. Nothing has changed, okay? If you felt before the series that the Lakers were going to win the series, or you thought the Warriors were going to win the series, why does them two splitting first two games in Golden State change your mind? It shouldn't. It shouldn't change anything, okay? But they do. They act like, oh my God, the sky's falling. The Lakers lost by 30. The very next night, the Lakers win by 30. Oh my God, the Warriors are dead. That's all they do. These people are paid millions of dollars to be on television, be talking heads. All they do is react. They're hardly ever proactive. They react to, if there's some kind of, you know, Black Lives Matter movement, they'll react to teams that are protesting. They don't go out there and really stand behind their convictions because they're scared of getting fired. And so they're lemmings, many of them. They're getting paid a ton of money, but they got crack research staffs left and right. They got people to back them up, tell them numbers in their ears and so forth and so on. And yet nobody's been talking about this. Nobody's been talking about it that I am aware of in regards to, as we did on a little old show in Glen Elder, Kansas. We predicted this. We were talking about it. I said there's going to be a gigantic scandal before I die, and it's probably going to happen next 5 to 10 years. Where I got it wrong is what I should have said in the next few days. And it's more college right now. But we have 6 NFL players that got suspended. Calvin Ridley got suspended for a year, okay? And he's coming back this year. 6 NFL players got suspended recently for gambling on sports. 2 of them got kicked off the team and they're unemployed today. Another is a first-round draft pick that's going to have to sit out 6 games due to suspension. And now we got Alabama's coach fired because of it. We've got Iowa State's got it. This is I didn't say 2 people. Let me repeat this. Iowa is 26 athletes across not just one sport, 5 sports, all right? We're talking about a full-time employee. We're talking about former athletes. Iowa State is got 15 athletes across 3 sports that are involved. This isn't just a baseball thing. This is not just a football thing. This is not just a wrestling thing. Then somebody showed a highlight of Iowa State football player dropping an easy catch for a touchdown when they were down 3 to Texas. And you sit there and you go, oh, he's got to feel horrible that he dropped that ball. For all we know, he got paid 10 grand to drop it. This lends to the credibility that the sports world is going to have a problem dealing with. All right, this isn't the first time gambling's happened. We talked about Tim Donaghy before in the referee of the NBA. We've talked about Pete Rose, of course. You can talk, and if you're lazy and you want to do sports talk, you can fill hours upon hours talking about where Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, and Pete Rose, what he did was wrong or right, whatever, so forth and so on. But now it's so prevalent. It is all over the place. And it is now an issue, and it's a big issue in college sports. And if you've got some undercover stings, if you've got more people looking into various things, if there is more oversight, more of this is going to happen. You're going to get more athletes and more staff members in trouble for betting on sports, whether it's college or pro athletes. It is happening as we speak. And who knows? And these are just the people we got, either got caught or are now being investigated. Trust me, there are many, many more situations. Some that will blow your mind, more than likely. And I think we will find out, there will be, as I predicted a few weeks ago, there will be a gigantic sports betting scandal in sports. It may already be happening in college, and it very well is going to happen in pro sports. There's going to be something that's going to just send shockwaves through professional sports. It's going to be sooner rather than later. And when you hear a college official yesterday in a report say, this is just the tip of the iceberg, or this is not relegated just to the state of Iowa, it's exactly what we've been preaching the last 2 weeks on this show. Buckle up. Buckle up. Because this is a problem for sports. You sold your soul to the devil in a way. All right? You take in all this money. All this money, especially professional sports, all this money to get sports betting people to the companies to give you all this money to promote it and promote it and promote it. And I said, it's not a lot different to me than when you're at a college football game and they're shoving Budweiser, Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light, and they're shoving it down your throat, and you've got, 10,000 student athletes that aren't of age, and you tell them they can't drink. What the hell? You're telling everybody to buy the product. Oh, but not you guys. Well, here's an idea. Ban that advertising at the arena. Ban the advertising. Keisha, try it. You know, we can't advertise on high school sports because that's underage people. But what about that? I mean, you're advertising. If you tell a young kid, well, listen, you can't gamble on sports. Yeah, but why not? You're talking about FanDuel in the middle of the NBA game. Or you got it right in a college athletic game or whatever it might be. I don't know what they do promotional-wise with the betting stuff with college sports. But it is a dangerous precedent, and we are now dealing with it. And this, like I said, I agree with the guy, and I've been preaching for 2 weeks. This is going to be a problem. The genie is out of the bottle. You're not going to be able to put it in. Sports betting is becoming more and more prevalent across the country. More and more states are legalizing sports betting. And that's fine and all. That's fine and all. But there are repercussions to what you do. When you legalize certain things, there are repercussions. The repercussions is, all right, so you're moving these teams to Vegas. You don't think they're going to go to the casino and bet?
Yeah.
Maybe even on their own team. You don't think somebody's dumb enough to take a chance on it? Or, maybe there's an athlete that, even a millionaire. Some young kid made $10 million, but he got invested in a whole bunch of car washes. You've seen the documentaries about all these young athletes that didn't never had money, get all this money, blow it. They're broke 5 years or as soon as they're done in the league, they're done. NFL, NBA, baseball, it don't matter. They blow the money. They don't have financial advisors. They don't have good people around them. They don't know how to deal with a whole bunch of money. You don't think now, you don't think they can blow it even quicker now? Hey, you know what? I got $10 million signing bonus. I've already spent $8 million. I got my mama a house. I got a whole bunch of bling, and I've got this. I got a brand new car. I got a Porsche. I got a Lamborghini. I got a big old truck, and I got this big huge mansion. And wait a minute. Okay, that didn't cover my $10 million. Well, I'm going to make more money. I'll go ahead and have a payment. Right? I'll have a mortgage. Big deal. Whatever. I'll handle it. I'm going to make more money. I'm a great athlete. And you think that the nothing's going to happen to you? All of a sudden, maybe you don't play well. All of a sudden, you are in a situation where you want to pay the bills. And you're like, I'm doubling down. I'm going to bet, I want to keep my house. I'm going to bet $100,000 on my team to win because I know who's pitching today and who's not pitching today. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's insider trading. It's no different. It is no different. You have information within a team or even a sport in general. It don't have to be your own team. And you're privy to information that could help you win a bet. Now, whether you place that and you're smart enough to place it with somebody else and then maybe they get busted and then you better hope they don't rat you out, things like that, I don't know. But when you have younger people, and this is what it seems to be, and we're talking some adults too, the Alabama coach, he should know better. It seems like where I'm seeing this, it seems to be that they're younger people, college athletes, and obviously young pros that we just mentioned with the six NFL players. Calvin Ridley was a younger pro too. Those are the people that seem to be susceptible to this. And how many of them are doing this? And we have no idea, but eventually will. We could have a gigantic scandal on our hands, and I am absolutely predicting it's going to happen. I said 2 weeks ago, or the last 2 weeks, it's going to happen before I die. Now, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but let's say I live to average life expectancy for a man, which is, 76, 77? So I got maybe 30 years left in my life. I'd be willing to, no pun intended, I'd be willing to bet that there's going to be a major, gigantic scandal in professional sports by the end of this decade.
Oh, yeah.
Probably sooner. I'm probably being too conservative.
But you'd still be in it, I'd just saying, by the end of the decade.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking major.
Yeah. I want to, maybe I should talk to Brady or somebody that's doing college sports right now, Brady Paulin, and see what they're actually doing with athletes.
How they're educating
them. Is Wichita State sitting you down and making it explicitly clear that you cannot gamble on your phone, even though it's legal in this state?
Right.
You can't gamble. And, you know, there's other guys at K-State that I know that I could probably talk to about that, too, that I know personally. So it'd be interesting to see if they're actually – because that's – I mean, the number one thing you've got to do, I think, the moment your state legalizes gambling, if you're playing college sports in Division I in any of those states, is you've got to put a seminar together, put something together immediately to tell these kids you cannot gamble. It is explicitly prohibited by the NCAA for you to gamble on games.
Which I know I know the pro sports leagues do it.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of seminars.
And so you've got to know – and there's so many other – you know, there's so many universities that would have to do that on their own, probably.
Right.
I don't know if the conference probably is not going to help you because it's not conference-wide in some places, right?
Right.
It's just this certain state. So I'd be interested to see if what, you know, like Iowa and Iowa State are doing as far as those kind of things. Did they sit everybody down, all their athletes, at the beginning of the school year or whenever Iowa decided to make this a law that you could gamble? Did they explicitly make it clear to all their athletes that you can't gamble? And that's what I would kind of want to know in some of these places.
I believe they probably have.
But at the same time, it's like there's so many things that are legal that you just go ahead and do it, right? You don't think about maybe some of the other repercussions that might be on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's so easy for a kid to just be like, oh, my buddy's doing this. He's not playing sports. Like, my roommate doesn't play sports. Like, he's on
FanDuel
or DraftKings or whatever he's on. Yeah. Or,
hey, man, place a bet for me.
Yeah, do this. And because I think
you don't become friends anymore.
And it's like, and I don't know. I don't think the kids that, if they're athletes, some of them probably that sign up and actually do it on their phone, don't. I'm going to guess they don't understand how easy that is to track.
Yeah,
and how that is absolutely connected right to you and nobody else.
Right.
So that's kind of what I would like to know about all of it with some of these universities that they're going to start dealing with this. Yeah. You better be doing it, though. If you're not by now, you better be doing it immediately. Let every athlete know.
Yeah.
Send a memo to their coach and have their coaches sit them down. Maybe you got to do it 3-4 times a year. I don't care. Sit them down and say, hey, you're going to be tempted to do this because it's legal in this state, but it's not legal for you to do it.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to be tempted to drink alcohol because it's legal in this state, but you're not 21. You can't do it.
Right.
So there's always parameters of a lot of these laws and things that are going on that even though some stuff's legal, some people still can't do it.
Exactly right. John says it's probably more likely to happen at the college level because the kids, even with NIL, don't have access to as much money as professional players. And that's what we're seeing right now. Although, as I said, 6 NFL players.
The NFL level, you're wanting
Ridley,
to get bigger money.
You want
to
get even bigger
if
money.
If you have that money, you're like, oh, I can put $1 million on this because I have it.
True. And it always, really, if you look at it, no matter what age you are, it's your money situation. If you desire to have more money and you think you can make it quickly, then hello, gambling is a vice for you to use, right?
Absolutely.
You can lose it quickly, but, you know, if you hit it, you can make it quickly. By the way, Vegas does very well because they know what they're doing. So if you think that you can, you know, live off of being a professional gambler, odds are it ain't going to go well for you. And then also, you know, there's lots of bookies out there. There's bookies all over the country and probably even more so now than ever before. And I know there are people from North Central Kansas where it was legalized sports betting in Kansas that were placing bets with bookies in Vegas or bookies in other states. I know this. And now they're older people, or not old people, but, you know, people even my age, friends of mine, have done it. But they're not college athletes. But if you're a college athlete, you could easily be doing this. Or a bookie that is a friend of a friend or a friend of your mom or your dad's says, hey, man, you know, you tired of getting a loan from mom and dad? You tired of mom and dad having to give you money? I'll hook you. Hey, man, I got a lead, man. All right, you want to play some money on this? This is my guaranteed. It's stone cold lock. And kids are going to be more impressionable, younger kids, to go, wow, that sounds great. And next thing you know, they might not be able to play sports anymore. So there it is. I mean, there's no doubt. There's sharks out there. There's no doubt about that. So, and then, of course, as I know and you know, people that are younger than you, younger than me, are into doing it on their phone. And so there are younger people, and I'm sure older people too, that are like, wow, it's legal. And now I can not have to worry about trying to talk to some bookie somewhere else. And now I can place all my bets. In some cases, I don't even get advice from somebody that might know more than I do. Mm-hmm. And now I lose money and now I'm behind. And then I start to gamble more. And then guess what happens? You're addicted. And then you're in a financial hole. Then you get desperate. You're going to go rob a bank after that? I mean, seriously, you're going to go to a convenience store and hold somebody up at the cashier window, a teller or whatever. You suddenly, it's called addiction. It's what it's called. Yeah. You see this with people that get addicted to drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, whether alcohol is a drug, by the way. We see that, and gambling is no different. And I always laugh. I do laugh at this, is that when you see all these ads, and then at the very end of something, there's this big disclaimer at the bottom that you can't even read. If you need help for gambling, call blah, 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 blah. Let me get this right. You are encouraging everybody to gamble, but then you're not responsible for anybody getting addicted because you put a 1-800 number on the screen at the very bottom that I need a magnifying glass to read. Convenient.
That
was the same thing that happened with alcohol. Same thing happens with cigarettes. It's not like the warning labels in real big, bold print, underlined and italicized, is it?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, though, as somebody said to me many times, you are responsible for your own actions.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know? So if you decide to gamble too much, that's your problem because you couldn't harness it. But there are repercussions to, obviously, repercussions of legalizing alcohol, you know? And there's repercussions of legalizing pot and marijuana. And there's anything that you legalize, there are repercussions that come. Some are unintended consequences. Some things you just didn't see coming. And then once it happens, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah. On the backside of that, like the evolution of what gambling is, it's like you're talking about bookies. And then a lot of the younger people I know before it was legal in Kansas were doing offshore websites,
yes.
right? Like, and so it's basically all you got to do is have either a card or a bank account on that side. It's not actually locating where you're at while you're making the bet, right? Like it doesn't, unless you have that turned on. But now if you're doing this on your phone in the legal way,
yeah,
that's all your money right away.
Yeah.
It's not, hey, I'm going to put this on here and I'm going to cash it out if it goes here, or if it gets below this number in the hole, I actually have to start paying it back on an offshore. It's all right there. Now, you can cash out whenever you want because it's your money and it's right there. But if you get in a hole, if you have zero in your account, you can't bet. So you're going to have to add more from your actual bank account to put in there to your, you know, phone account, and if that keeps going down, that's all actual money that you're losing on the spot.
Right.
And so that's the thing, is it's a lot tougher to, and that's why I'm a lot more careful about it too, is because I know that I've got to always stay above what I've put in. That's my philosophy. I don't bet a lot. I'm not like a lot of people, and I'm not addicted to it at this point in my life.
First time I went to a casino when I was in college and I was of age, I went to Kansas City Casino, Harrah's Casino, and I just absolutely just felt bad when I looked over and there's an ATM machine and there was constantly somebody pulling money out of it. I'm like, this is not the way to go. You go to the casino with whatever you're willing to lose, and if you go to the ATM one time, you've changed your rules and now you've been sucked in. And on top of that, you had fees to withdraw your own money out of your own account through an ATM machine. Okay, let's move on to another big story. We're going to go long today because of these stories. you know, you talked about, well, these kids, you know, they should be educated. They should be told. And, you know, are they doing this with college kids? But you know what? I'm a parent. I can tell my kid over and over and over and over 1,000 times not to do this. That doesn't mean they're not going to still do it.
Absolutely.
And we talk about kids. We talk about college athletes. We talk about kids. But it pertains to adults, too. And that leads me to the Bob Huggins situation. West Virginia head coach Bob Huggins twice used a homophobic slur in a radio interview yesterday when asked about whether he had recruited and tried to poach Xavier players out of the transfer portal. Huggins was being interviewed on a Cincinnati radio station, and the host of the show asked if Xavier players had popped up on his radar in building out his roster via the transfer portal, and Huggins twice resorted to using a slur while demeaning its Catholic fan base. Huggins apologized in a statement yesterday afternoon. He said, and I quote, "Earlier today on a Cincinnati radio program, I was asked about the rivalry between my former employer, the University of Cincinnati, and its crosstown rival, Xavier. During the conversation, I used a completely insensitive and abhorrent phrase that there is simply no excuse for, and I won't try to make one here. I deeply apologize to the individuals I have offended, as well as to the Xavier University community, the University of Cincinnati, and West Virginia University. As I have shared with my players over my 40 years of coaching, there are consequences for our words and actions, and I will fully accept any coming my way. I am ashamed and embarrassed and heartbroken for those I have hurt. I must do better, and I will." End of quote. Huggins was a longtime rival of Xavier as a head coach at Cincinnati from 89 to 2005, went to K-State for a year, then, of course, to West Virginia. He has the most wins among all active coaches. West Virginia had a statement, and they said, and I quote, Coach Huggins' remarks today on a Cincinnati radio show were insensitive, offensive, and do not represent our university values. Coach Huggins has since apologized. West Virginia University does not condone the use of such language and takes such actions very seriously. The situation is under review and will be addressed by the university and its athletic department. So yesterday, I was flipping through Twitter, and I saw somebody say that Huggins said Catholic F, and then there was asterisks. And I thought it was rhymes with sucks. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what it was that he said. Then I pulled up the audio, the 2 minute, and what I appreciate was there, the whole 2 minutes was there for me to listen to, not just his one line. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to know, how was it built up, you know, so forth and so on, and then how did Huggins react after he said it? Did he immediately apologize? Did he know he slipped up? And then, you know, how did the interview go? I like Bob Huggins. I've never met Bob Huggins. You know, Josh Eilert, he works on the staff for West Virginia under Bob Huggins. I've heard great stories about Bob Huggins. I think he'd be a great guy to sit down with and have a beer with and so forth and so on. But objectively, even if you're a gigantic Bob Huggins fan, you've got to be – there's so many things wrong with it. And I can't even begin to explain them all. And I hate to say it because I like the guy. I think I would love to play for the guy. I mean, I he'd be hard on me. That'd be good. It'd get the best out of me. I think I would like to play for Bob Huggins. Although now after hearing what he said yesterday, maybe I wouldn't. And now there's all kinds of problems that could happen here at West Virginia. And there's many different variables that we could get to. What Bob Huggins yesterday during this radio interview didn't slip up once. He said it twice. So that's not a slip up. That's not a slip-up like the Oakland A's broadcaster the other day that said the N-word instead of Negro. He said the other N-word kind of casually. He says he didn't mean to say it, that came out wrong or how it was intended. But at the same time, I believe that that would never come out of your mouth if you'd never said it before in your life. So I think he's probably said it before. I'm not saying he should be fired over it. I think he may have, you know, I think it did slip out of his mouth. He was trying to say good things about the Negro Leagues Museum, and they had visited in Kansas City, the A's, and so forth and so on. He's in hot water. He's suspended. Don't know if he's going to lose his job. But you could certainly say he slipped, right? This is not a slip up.
Mm-mm.
This is he did it twice. He said it twice, and I don't know if Bob Huggins. And this is what people are wondering: was Bob Huggins? He likes to drink. Was Bob Huggins inebriated? Was Bob Huggins not thinking clearly because he had a few? He sounds coherent as he's talking, so I don't think that's the case. But I don't know. And it's almost like he forgot he was on the radio. Seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, listening to this conversation, it's very, like, he knows these guys. It sounds like these guys are talking on a telephone, shooting the breeze, having a beer at a bar. Seriously. Like, it's either talking on the phone, shooting the breeze, catching up, or they're sitting at a bar just shooting the breeze and forgetting that there's microphones around them and it's going across the country on a podcast or a radio show. That's how it came across mm-hmm. to me. That doesn't excuse Bob Huggins. He's not his first rodeo, and you know you're on the air somehow, some way with microphones and this and that, and I'm sure it was a call-in and this and that. But he didn't make any, you know, excuses in his statement, which, you know, is smart on his part from that standpoint. But we were just talking about gambling and about how everybody needs to know this and people know this. Well, Bob Huggins knows better. I mean, there is no excuse for Bob Huggins. I have got none. If you say he's inebriated and he was drunk, well, then there's a problem there. If you say, well, he thought he was just talking to the guys at the bar and forgot he was on the radio, well, that means he's comfortable talking like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all kinds of problems with this. And Bob Huggins, if he was a not established head coach, I would bet your butt he'd be fired already today.
Yeah.
But because he is the all-time winningest active coach, because he's in the, it doesn't hurt that he's in a Hall of Fame. He's respected. He's good buddies with a lot of people across college basketball. Him and Bill Self are good friends and so forth and so on. Bob Huggins may be able to keep his job. But here's some of the fallout with this. First of all, he not only did he say the F word, and it's not the, you know, one we were talking about, but that's towards a certain community, but also towards the Catholic community. So he didn't just rile up one community, he riled up a few. And I don't know how riled up everybody is about this. If they're going to let it go a little bit more, he gets cut some slack because he's Bob Huggins. I don't know. But there's fallout here. And he's going to have to be suspended, I would think, at least. But here's more fallout. So Bob Huggins is, I don't know how old, but he knows better. He's got to know better. And so you sit here and say, well, all these young kids need to be educated, and they've been told they shouldn't gamble on sports. Well, if people like Bob Huggins don't know better to say what he said yesterday, why can't you cut some kids some slack, too? I mean, hello. So, and it hurts me to say some of this because, like I said, we've talked to Josh Eilert, and he's talked about how great Bob Huggins is, and I believe Josh. I mean, and here's another fallout. Josh Eilert and his family and all the people on that coaching staff have got to be concerned today.
Oh, yeah.
This is their livelihood, all right? Their families live in Morgantown. They've been there for a while. They have their kids going to school. They've coached there. Some of them, you know, maybe were looking at, you know, moving up within the West Virginia coaching staff or maybe getting opportunities other places. And now you may, because you might be all of a sudden everything changes. I would think that if Huggins is fired, that they're just going to have to promote somebody and get by for the next year. But there's still and then another variable is, what about these transfer guys that he got coming in, a couple of really good ones? Are they going to change their mind if Huggins does indeed get fired? Or do they change their mind because of what he said, even if he is still employed at the University of West Virginia? Those are just a few of the fallouts and variables of what Bob Huggins said yesterday. And I am disappointed. There is no doubt about it. I am disappointed in Bob Huggins. I think a lot of people are. We all make mistakes. Obviously, we do. But there are consequences for our mistakes. And if this was any Joe Schmo coach, I think today we would be talking about how the university either fired him already last night, or by the end of the day, that coach would be gone. And maybe at the end of the day, we will find out Bob Huggins has been fired too. It's very possible. Some people will say, well, here we go. We're going to push people out of the jobs because they said something and they didn't mean it in a certain way, or this or that. He said it twice, not once. It wasn't a slip up. So this is something he seemed very comfortable in saying it, by the way. So I would imagine he said these words well many times before. And that might be how he believes. But he has to know better not to say what he said in the position that he's in. And now what he has done with his mistake is he's now, Josh Eilert and other people on that staff didn't do anything to deserve this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, granted, yeah. Bob Huggins gave all these guys on the staff opportunities, hired them, so forth and so on. And I know they will defend Coach Huggins, and they'll say, listen, you know, he made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. And, you know, I'm sure they want, you know, him to stay as head coach and this and that. But they didn't ask for this. And so this is part of when there's some people you say, well, why wasn't Jerome Tang a head coach sooner? Because he could have been. Maybe Jerome Tang knew that he wasn't ready to handle these type of things until he got older. And then said, you know, K-State's a good place to go because maybe I don't want to be in a major media market so that if I do slip up, you know what I'm saying? Because you are the CEO of the company, in essence. You're the head coach of a university or head coach of a pro sports franchise. You are the main person they talk to after the game. They don't talk to the AD after the game. They don't talk to the owner of the team after the game and have them on a press conference. They don't talk to the officials. They talk to the players, and they talk to the head coach. The head coach is the guy. He is point number A of who you talk to after any game or try to get for an interview to talk about a team. And Bob Huggins has done thousands upon thousands of interviews over his career. Sometimes he might be short and he might not want to answer your questions. He might be surly. Sometimes he's very engageable and very funny. And yesterday he seemed to be just shooting the breeze with his buddies at the bar is what he seemed to think he was doing. That's how it came across to me. And now he's in trouble. And not only is he in trouble, but now everybody that's employed that is on his staff have got concerns and worries today. Not because of anything they did, but because their boss screwed up.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot there, obviously.
I know.
And I would argue if he would have said the F word that you thought he said, that we wouldn't be talking very much about this today.
I agree.
Which part of that commentary is kind of sad, actually.
Because we don't
care what we're saying about somebody's religion.
Right.
But if we say it about a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, homophobic slur.
Right.
we're talking way more about it, and this is just an uproar, right? So if you called somebody a Catholic other F word, mm-hmm. then nobody probably would have cared much today,
not
to be completely honest. I mean, somebody would have made a comment about
sure.
it and been like, did you hear what Huggins said? And right. half the people just laugh it off and just move on with their day, right?
Right.
And maybe more than half. But it's obviously... I want to say it's unfortunate because it was out there and it put out there. It's not unfortunate for Bob Huggins because he made the mistake. And obviously, like you said, this is the way it came out is not – he's been calling them that since he was at Cincinnati. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
Right? Like, and I actually told the guys, I said 18 years ago if he said that at Cincinnati – might not have been as big of a deal as it is today, but we're in 2023.
Social media spreads like wildfire.
Somebody's got to figure out how to, you know, change your habits.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, then
you're gonna
have some problems. Yes, and sir. Obviously, this is what we're at. That's where we're at. He didn't change his habits, and he's got some problems.
Yep.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that are. I would bet there's a lot of older people around Bob Huggins' age that if they're upset about this today, they probably said that word in their life. But maybe they changed their habits, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they understood that, hey, yeah, I was young and was not smart, right?
Yeah.
But when you're 69, which I looked up how old Bob Huggins was, you should know these things. And
yes.
that's probably the most concerning part about it for me. And the fact that, I mean, just you're in this culture that we're living in right now and slip ups. So on the other side, it's like, does this one
this
time
not a
saying
slip
it? Yeah, but does this one time saying it publicly? I won't call it a slip up again, but saying it publicly erase 30, 40 years of what he's done for a career, right?
Right.
And so that's what West Virginia is doing right now. That's what mm-hmm. they're trying to figure that out. Does it? Is it bigger than that? Do I want to affect 10 to 15 people that are directly resulted that are on the staff and helping West Virginia basketball right now and
right.
And then the rest of their families and adding all those numbers to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot there, but obviously this is not an isolated incident of him saying the word.
No, it's not. And it is unfortunate. But I mean, and you know, Huggins did this, he did this part right. He immediately apologized. At least it looks like it. And he makes no excuses. But here's one thing that doesn't help him either. Tom Brenneman is a good friend of his. Tom Brenneman got fired for using the same slur in Kansas City, oddly
yeah.
enough. Tom Brenneman did. And I don't know when it was, but I've seen the video. It's on Twitter. And Huggins in West Virginia put this out there. Tom Brenneman came. He got fired from being the play-by-play voice of the Reds for TV radio. I mean, he made a big boo-boo, and he paid for it. He was doing Fox NFL games and everything. So he was invited as a speaker to talk to the West Virginia basketball team about his mistakes and so forth and the unintended or consequences of his actions, everything else. And Huggins, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me right now, but he basically was like, you know, people make mistakes, so forth and so on, and everybody, you know, learned and found out. And, you know, Huggins was at that speech.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. Tom Brennan's a good friend of his. How does he make the same mistake? That's hard to fathom. That is hard to explain. And you know what most people, the explanation will be is? That's who he is.
Well, yeah.
That's how you explain it. That's who he is. I'm going to try to find it here real quick because I know, not on there now. But it was, there he goes. This was on Twitter. This was November 21st, 2020. Bob Huggins put out there, I want to thank my friend Tom Brenneman for traveling over to Morgantown and speaking to the team. His message isn't one of excuses, but one of accountability. It takes courage to confront mistakes head on, and I believe our guys learned that from his time with us. So this doesn't look good, obviously. And I don't know. Well, I mean, I've got a couple people texting me saying they think he won't make it. They don't think he's going to survive. And I think odds are against him because of the society we live in today. And like you said, 2023. I think this is 2003. He's still okay. Maybe 2013 is still okay. 2023.
Kobe got fined $100,000 in 2011 because I was looking that up. Like mm-hmm. some other
Kobe Bryant
times this has happened, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, Kobe Bryant said it on the bench and said it loud and got fined $100,000 in 2011
right.
in the NBA. He didn't
12 years ago,
and that's. Not a lot for Kobe, but it's still a hefty fine, right, for saying the word.
And I do think I think it is significantly different coming from a player
compared
to a coach.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But Kobe wasn't going to lose his contract.
Right.
More than likely.
Exactly. Right? They weren't going to cut him off the team.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Unless the NBA suspended him for a year, and that wasn't going to happen. So do you think he survives?
I actually think he does.
I do, too. I don't know why. I got the feeling he's somehow going to get through it. But what do the players that already committed to play for Huggins, what are they going to do?
Change.
You know, what about people on the staff that are uncomfortable with what he said? Although if they've been with him on staff for a long time, they've probably maybe heard that before. Maybe. I don't know that for sure. So we shall see. There's some that believe he will not survive this. Others that think he may somehow, you know, keep his job. We shall see. 2023 schedule release for the NFL schedule is this Thursday at 7 o'clock. For the first time ever, no network will be tied to any Sunday afternoon games. No network is tied to any of the noon, 305, or 325 slots. For years, CBS was the default network for the NFC. NBC handled the AFC games. Then in 1994, Fox stole the NFC package from CBS. 4 years later, they didn't steal it, they just outbid them. 4 years later, CBS took the AFC package to NBC. Now there's no package for either network. So, for example, Fox no longer has a stranglehold on having Dallas Cowboy games, and CBS no longer can lay claim to the Chiefs or the Patriots. Under the old rules, CBS had all Sunday afternoon games involving two AFC teams and any interconference game in which the AFC team was a visitor. Fox had all the Sunday afternoon games with the two NFC teams, and likewise if the NFC team was on the road. So, with the AFC currently the far more competitive of the conferences, with almost all the great quarterbacks in the AFC compared to the NFC, it's a perfect time for Fox, which will gladly give up its stranglehold on NFC games so they can get a bigger slice of the AFC games with Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and others. Here's a few other changes. Every NFL team will not be guaranteed at least one primetime game per season anymore. Teams are allowed to appear on Thursday Night Football twice a season instead of being limited to once. And there will be a Black Friday game the day after Thanksgiving for the first time in NFL history. So, NFL schedule coming out Thursday will be interesting. You wonder why the NFL is the number one sport in America? All you got to do is see what happened with the NFL draft and the fact that the release of an NFL schedule is such a big story. NBA playoffs last night. The Lakers get it done behind an unlikely hero.
Lonnie Walker guarded by Curry. Walker, pull up. Walker hits another one. It's the Lonnie Walker game.
It was a Lonnie Walker game. Lonnie Walker, the fourth, who didn't play early in the series and then mop-up duty in one game. But a very talented player. I think he's only 24 or 25. He used to play for the Spurs. He came up through, came up huge. He had kind of a Kobe Bryant-like performance in the fourth quarter. Scored all 15 of his points off the bench in the fourth, and he saved the Lakers bacon. Lakers win 104-101 over the Warriors. Warriors had a 12-point lead, couldn't hang on to it in the second half. LeBron with 27, and Steph Curry had triple-double, 31 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds. But Steph really struggled shooting the ball, especially from three. So that's 3-1. Is the dynasty over? Are the Warriors done? I'm going to tell you that it seemed like it last night. Just the way the Warriors reacted after the game. Draymond Green had a couple of bad plays late. Steph Curry didn't have a good play late. Jordan Poole didn't even score in the game. Didn't even play a lot. I mean, the Warriors had a great chance to win that game and be tied 2-2 going back to San Francisco game 5. I do think the Warriors win game 5, and they pushed it to game 6, but I just don't see the Warriors coming back from 3-1. I predicted that the Cavs would against the Warriors back in 2016 NBA Finals. The Warriors have come back from 3-1 before. They've come back from 2-1 deficits. It can be done. 13 teams have done it in NBA playoff history, down 3-1 to come back and win. It can be done, but based on what I saw last night and just the way that game went, easily the series could be 2-2. I'm not going to say that the Warriors are done, but I do not see the Warriors winning the next three games against the Lakers. Klay Thompson said, if we're fully healthy, there's no team that can beat us in a 7-game series. I think we're about to find out that he's wrong. I'm not a Laker fan. I'm cheering for the Warriors to win this series, but I just, after just the reaction of the players, I think Green and Curry and all these guys, I think they almost acknowledged that this was the end of their dynasty last night. I may be wrong. Maybe they're just disappointed because they should have won and they didn't, and they'll regroup and they'll win game 5 and Steve Kerr will make an adjustment. Next thing you know, the Warriors, you know, they take game 6 and force a game 7, and then who knows what happens. And of course, AD could get hurt and that would change everything. But I think as of now, if everybody stays healthy as they are the rest of the way, I think the Warriors are done. And I hate to say that because they are talented enough to win 3 in a row, but they are an older team with some of their key players are older. And the wear and tear, they had a tough 7-game series in the first round. And the Lakers are getting really more from their bench, including Lonnie Walker last night, compared to what the Warrior bench has given them, although the Warrior bench hasn't been horrible. I think we may have seen the end of the – we're going to see the end of the dynasty at some point, obviously, whether it's this year, next year, whatever. But, Dusty, it kind of felt like last night after that game, watching the reaction of the Warrior players, that the Warriors' dynasty is over. There are going to be major changes this offseason. Bob Myers is his last year of his deal. He's the architect to put this team together. Draymond Green very well might not be part of this team next year. It just felt to me like last night was the – not – officially the end, but it felt like the end of the dynasty.
I'm with you. I don't think they're going to be winning three more games against the Lakers in a row here, so I think this series is probably over. So that it lends to the fact that not all these guys are going to be back next year, and they're not going to put the money out to have them all back, and all those things that come with that. So I agree with you. I thought, you know, no matter where they would lose, unless they're hoisting the trophy at the end of the year this year, that this is the end of it. And I think even if they hoist the trophy at the end of the year, it's probably still the end of what we really see with the Warriors and who they were.
Last dance part two. Bulls,
yeah.
Bulls had their last dance. In the East, game four, the Heat won 109-101. Jimmy Butler, sensational again, 27 points, 10 rebounds. Knicks are down 3-1 in that best of seven, so the 8 seed could go on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Tonight in the East, Celtics Sixers tied 2 apiece. Game five in Boston, 6:30 on TNT, followed by the Nuggets and the Suns. Jokic not suspended for, you know, extending an arm and an owner flopping courtside for the Suns. It's just a $25,000 fine. He has that in his couch cushions. So the Suns and Nuggets pivotal game five tonight in Denver, and the pivotal game five there between the Celtics and Sixers in Boston. Hockey playoffs last night.
Michael makes a move. Michael pass in front, and they score! The Vegas Golden Knights with the go-ahead goal in the late stages of the first period.
And the Golden Knights roll to a 5-1 victory over the Oilers. They're up 2-1 in that Western Conference semifinal. Tonight in the East, the Hurricanes up 2-1 on the Devils. Game 4 at 6 o'clock in New Jersey on ESPN. And then later on ESPN tonight, my Kraken up 2-1 on the Dallas Stars in Game 4 in Seattle at 8:30 tonight. Lots of things we covered here. You know, sports gambling is a huge topic that really isn't being covered even nationally that well either, even now that it's even actually happening in college sports. Bob Huggins is a gigantic story. We'll continue to follow that. And then obviously the biggest story of everything that we talked about is the Royals have won two in a row. How about those Royals?
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.